Classy 97, it's Josh and Chantel. On the phone, a very special guest. We have the bass player from the Goo Goo Dolls. Robbie is with us. Hey, Robbie, welcome to the show.
Hey, welcome. It's glad to be here, man.
So now coming up on Thursday the 14th, big night out tour. You guys with Fits and the Tantrums are going to be in Idaho Falls in the Hero Arena at the Mountain America Center. This tour has kind of had a second leg here. You were originally out with OAR. Now you're out with Fits and the Tantrums. Give me a little background on the tour.
Yeah, well, last night was the last date with OAR. I think we did about 30 dates with them, and it was awesome. The crowds have been great. The weather's been pretty point on for most of the summer here. So, but we're looking forward to getting together with Fitz. I've heard a lot of great stuff about him. I've never actually seen him live, but a few of the guys in our camp have, and he said that they're unbelievably fun, so it should be an unbelievably fun night.
That's nice. I want to talk a little bit about your new album as well. Chaos in Bloom is the album. It's available everywhere right now, and you have a new single called Run All Night. Give me a little background on that album and the new single.
Chaos in Bloom, we recorded in Woodstock over the pandemic, actually, before the world was allowed to be out of their cages. So we kind of hunkered down and made that record, and we toured on that last summer, and still releasing some songs from it. But in the meantime, we were recording a song with OAR to perform with them during the tour. We did a cover of Tom Petty's Won't Back Down.
Oh, cool.
And John was in the studio with Greg Wattenberg, the producer, that produced that song, and they came up with an idea for Run All Night. And anytime you go out during a summer tour, especially you know with the immediacy of music now, it's great to have a new song to play. So people have been really reacting to it and having a great time with it. So it's going well for us.
What do you make of all the digital stuff and AI and how that's kind of influencing everything in the world right now within the music industry and everywhere else?
Well, I think just in general, I think we're in for an age of enlightenment, quite honestly. This is a big thing, you know. Things are going to change drastically, you know, as they did, you know, when the television came around, and, you know, as they did when, you know, the internet came around, you know, the first time.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, there's some really exciting things that are about to happen. There's also some doors that are about to slam shut pretty hard.
I bet, yeah.
People. Yeah, you know, but I do feel like, you know, it's just progress. It's just movement. So, you know, stuff will shift, water will find level, and, you know, we'll all be sitting around complaining about something else other than AI.
Yeah, well, I saw the AI track that had Drake and The Weeknd on it that they had nothing to do with, but that Ghost Rider did, is actually eligible to run for a Grammy, which I went, really?
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, the thing I've seen since all this has kind of been kicking up now, you know, music has really left the human realm in a lot of ways over the past couple of decades. You know, AI has actually been involved in record making for an awfully long time. No one knew, you know, they were moving drums around, they were putting stuff in time, they were tuning people's vocals.
Sure.
They were sourcing melodies from computers. This has been going on forever. So, I mean, this is just the next step. But the thing that I've been noticing is, like, there's more and more restaurants now that have a guy sitting with a guitar. You know, there's more and more people coming out to our shows. You know, we can see live music, like, in general, across the board, becoming more and more popular. And I do truly believe that it's the human element that is the thing that touches people. And, you know, AI, it's an amazing tool. You know, there's plenty of great songwriters who simply can't sing in tune, who have figured out how to make records and provide great songs for us. Are their live shows great? Yeah, maybe not so great, you know, because they can't sing in tune. So I don't know. You know, I think at some point the rubber hits the road, and, you know, human emotion is a real thing. And so I don't know. I have faith it's going to all work out.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's go back a little bit. 5 years ago in 2018, you guys did a 20th anniversary kind of front to back tour for Dizzy Up the Girl. This year being 25 years, do you have anything after this tour that you guys are doing to kind of celebrate that?
We did release some chrome vinyl of Dizzy Up the Girl this year, but since we made such a big deal out of it at 20, we decided that, Maybe at 30, we'll bring out the big guns again.
there you go. I kind of did some deep diving on some of your social media to kind of prepare for the interview, and it looks like you're kind of a fan of urban art, and you get to kind of like explore the different areas you're touring, and you've kind of will kind of transition into some of your art stuff in general. But when you're kind of out and about looking at some of that urban street art, is there anything special or anything significant about that to you?
You know, it's funny, like there's an awful lot of urban art out there right now, you know, public art, you know, that's being funded, which is amazing. You know, it's so great to see. But the stuff I'm often most intrigued with are like the little doodles on telephone poles and, you know, I don't know, just, you know, like little tags that folks put on the sidewalk and stuff. Like that's kind of the most intriguing stuff to me, you know. But I'll tell you, man, like, you know, we spend a lot of time, you know, I quit drinking a few years back, and so my mornings are much more free than they used to be. And so I spend a lot of time walking around, and it's just crazy, the public art initiatives that are out there right now. It's really inspiring to see that, you know, that people are investing.
Yeah,
know,
well,
in,
I don't know what your
creative realm.
For sure. And I don't know what your schedule will be like when you're in Idaho Falls for the show. We do have in our downtown a designated alley. It's called Pug's Lane that has local artists that can go and contribute art in our downtown area, which is kind of fun. So if you get a chance to explore, I might recommend that. Yeah. Do you have a favorite?
I appreciate the tip.
Yeah. Do you have like a favorite street artist or a mural artist at all, like that does bigger stuff?
Yeah. There's a local guy in town in Buffalo named Chuck Tingley, who actually did the cover of our Chaos and Bloom record.
Oh,
he also
cool.
did the cover of our I can't remember the name of the album. There's another EP he did a cover for us too. He's a large form artist, man, and you know, he can do stuff like, you know, this on the side of like, you know, 5-6 story buildings, and it's just mind blowing to me that people can bring things to that scope, you know, just with, you know, some brushes and a compressor and a you know, and a lift.
Right.
You know, he just kind of goes for it. So yeah, but anyway, Chuck Tingley, check him out.
Nice. Great. Yeah, there's an artist I like out of UK. His name is D-Face, and he did the Hollywood album cover for Blink-182, and his style's very pop art like that, and does those giant murals, the same thing on the whole side of a building, and it blows my mind.
Yeah, it's mind blowing. Just the scope of like how large that stuff is. Just that is mind blowing to me.
I want to talk a little bit about your advocacy for music in the classroom and the Music is Art program, and I know you've got a big festival coming up this weekend, September 9th.
Yeah,
give me a little background on that.
Yeah, it's the Music is Art Festival. It's started 21 years ago. We had a couple of stages and about 10-12 artists there, and this year we have 27 stages, 250 bands, 150 DJs, circus tent, skate park,
that's
wheels,
incredible.
Wrestling, kids area, it just goes on and on. And everybody, all these bands in Buffalo perform gratis. They just come to be part of this bigger thing. And it really is pretty amazing, man. Performance artists and art installations and live muralists and it's actually free. We've managed to somehow keep it free over the past 21 years. So, yeah, it really is a celebration of, you know, my local community's creativity, and pretty important to us. And we also run programming throughout the year as well in the arts and in the music fields in the community. So, but I appreciate you asking about it. It's a big day for us in Buffalo, and you know, it's a whole year worth of planning smashed into about 13 hours, so it's a pretty exciting time.
I was going to ask if you had plans to expand it to, you know, any kind of tour or anything, but it sounds like it's such a localized special thing in Buffalo. I'm amazed at the amount of bands and DJs and artists and stuff that you have just in that one area.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's over, you know, it's throughout an entire neighborhood. Yeah, man, like I said, you know, it's really probably one of the most unique events I've ever encountered in the country, really, because, you know, it's driven by heart, you know, it's not driven by economics.
Right.
And, you know, that's a rare thing in the internet.
That's really special.
Yeah.
I want to talk about a TikTok video that you guys had earlier this month. John brings up this 19-year-old kid to play name. Tell me about that experience, and did you get to hang out with that kid afterward at all?
Well, we got to hang out with him up on the stage a little bit. We met him before the show, actually. He came back to a meet and greet, so we had a chance to talk with him a little bit. But that's happened a few times. We had a girl come up and sing with us one time. It's amazing how those things, they go viral. We've had such amazing luck with social media, you know, like this late in our career, like, you know, Lizzo sings, you know, Iris, and all of a sudden there's 6 million impressions, you know,
right.
Like, you know, a Dua Lipa or any of these folks, you know, like, you know, even use it as background music, and we see it jump, you know, and, you know, it turns a lot of the kids on. You know, it's just so amazing how many kids are showing up at the shows now, too. You know, often with their folks, which is like crazy. I don't think I've ever gone to a concert with my parents in my life. You know, but like, you know, there seems to be something that kind of is, you know, crossing generational borders here, and I think that's pretty cool too.
That's really rad. I'm sure you remember like the first time you heard the stuff on the radio from the band. Having been around for the tenure that you guys have there been any weird places that you've run into, like, oh, that's us, why are we on here?
You know, man, I'll tell you what, nothing is more awkward than someone catching you listening to your own band on the radio. So I think, you know, we tend to dive for the dial pretty quickly after we hear it on there the first time and see what the radio compression does to our beautiful mixes.
I'm sure, yeah. That's a really
but,
good point.
No, you know, it's funny. I remember being a kid, like, and, you know, I remember laying in, you know, like back in the 80s, I remember I was in my apartment one day, and there was a college radio station in town, and they must have been playing our songs and for our first record, and I damn nearly chased the car down the street to thank the guy for playing the song, it starts to happen, you know, through the 90s we were on the radio an awful lot, so it got a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
Worst problems to have, right?
No kidding, right? For sure. Do you ever get used to it? I mean, I get that question being in radio, like, oh, you know, do you ever, like, are you weirded out when you hear yourself and what?
Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of a thing, yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. This has been our life for almost 40 years now, you know, so I've sort of grown into whatever this thing is. I've sort of grown into it. But, you know, man, it's still amazing, you know, when you hear your song in a place, you know, like, I don't know, like in an event or something like that, you know, where you're like, oh, my God, wait a minute. Like, we're actually like part of this right now, you know, and, you know, where like people, you know, let you know that, you know, like one of the songs you've been involved with or, you know, is something, you know, that carried them through like a tough moment in their life or something, like any of that kind of stuff. It's like really like a moment where you go, oh yeah, okay, I guess this is something, like,
yeah, that's cool,
beyond this chaos I live in every day, you know. It's great. Yeah. It's a great feeling.
Chantel wanted me to ask two questions. One, she wanted me to ask, how do you determine your set list? And then second question, she wanted to know if Acoustic Number 3 was on the set list.
You know what? Acoustic Number 3 is not on the set list, but I'm literally writing that down right now, so it may be.
Okay.
That's the answer to that one. And how do we do the set list? You know, it's funny. Having been together as long as we have and having released as many singles as we have over the years, the set list tends to write itself. Because, you know, there's a song that you know people like to hear.
Sure.
But that ends up sort of being a sort of double-edged sword a little bit because, you know, we have so many songs, man. And, you know, you can only play for so long. So, you know, the more songs we have, the more of a struggle it is to make the list, really. You know, but, you know, like I said, first world problems, right?
You know,
I mean, there could be way worse problems than, you know, having too many songs to play, so...
Well, we're excited to see you guys. The show is coming up on Thursday, the 14th, Mountain America Center in the Hero Arena. It's a big night out tour with Goo Goo Dolls and Fits in the Tantrums. Robbie, thanks for taking time to talk to us today.
Absolutely, man. I'm glad we finally hooked up, dude.